After yesterday or last Sunday morning, we were standing here and we had praise and worship, very similar to this morning, very anointed as always by the Calvary praise singers and musicians. And we had an altar call last Sunday morning, and 49 people came forward and got their hearts right with God. Nothing greater in anyone's life. Then we had witnessing testimonies about people that went out to share the love of God. And we had the tithe and offerings. And then we had more testimonies. And I went, man, I love our church. And then we had people up in the baptistry being water baptized. Now, this is all before the ministry of the word. And really, that is the ministry of the word. That's a show and tell right there. Praise and worship, the opportunity to bring tithes and offerings as worship unto our God. People getting right with God, people being baptized in water. And I mean, that was in the first few minutes of our service last Sunday. And I went, man, don't you just love your church? Don't you just love Calvary Cathedral International? I think we can do better than that. So I was with Pastor this week, and he said, why don't you just minister on Sunday morning of why you love your church, why you love and appreciate Calvary Cathedral International. So, man, I just started writing notes. I was thinking, man, but I mean, this is what I live. This is where we wanted to be. You know, Lori had come here about 2 years before I got saved in 1985. She started coming in 1983 off and on. So when I got saved, when I gave my life to the Lord, she knew where to bring me. She brought me right here. And we were here 8 years. She was here 10 years. I was here 8 years before I came on staff. And I just love this house. I love a church where you can see people come to Jesus. I love a church where you can see people baptized in water. I love a church where the pastor's not ashamed to talk to you about tithes and offerings. And he's not afraid that somebody might leave because he might offend somebody because he talks about money. Man, am I thankful he talked about money. Listen, praise God he talks about money. Praise God, but he talks about it in a Bible way, in a biblical way. I love my church. And I just want to talk to you about four things about church. And the first thing I want to talk to you about, I would like to minister, is finding a good church home. New Testament church home is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make in your life. Now, I know that I say that when we give altar calls a lot. And that is the most important decision when you get right with God. But I'm telling you what, finding a good New Testament church home is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make in your life. Because it'll make an eternal difference. It'll change everything in your life. Lisa was ministering on it just a minute ago. She said, every good thing in my life. I know she was talking about God, but were you talking about church? I don't know. But anyway, I'll receive it, whatever it was. But, you know, as a young boy, I am thankful for parents that took me to church. You remember, Jeannie, we went to church every Sunday. Every Sunday. But I went to a liturgical church, a high church, had the candles flickering. It had the, you know, I mean, it was a high church type deal. And it was big on form, but I never saw any signs, wonders, and miracles. I never saw anybody come to Jesus. I never saw anybody really talk about the tithes and offerings and what it could do for you and how it could change your life. I never saw any of that. And I never heard, you must be born again. I never heard that. Ladies and gentlemen, you must be born again. I never saw a healing. I never really saw a prayer ministry. But praise God, we went to a church, and I remember the words that I heard. I heard the word Father, and I heard the word Son, and I heard the word Holy Ghost. And I'm so thankful that I heard those words. Because on Friday, June 7th, 1985, I knew who to call upon. I had heard those words. I knew there was Jesus. I knew there was a Savior. And I had heard those words. I heard some good things. I'm very thankful they made me go, but I had no idea why I was there. I mean, I had no idea why I was there other than that they took me. You know what I mean? And it's, you know, church, is it's important to know why you're here more than just coming and sitting for 2 hours on a Sunday morning or something. It's important to know what you're doing here, why you're here. And when we discover what church is really all about, that we will put a very, very high value on church. We will fall in love with church. David said in Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. David was glad. You can look that up in other translations, glad, exceedingly glad. But I mean, he was excited that he was going to the house of the Lord. Psalm 84, verse 10, David said this, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. David would rather have been in the house of God than anything. It was his highest priority, serving God in the house of God. Hebrews 10:25. Give you a New Testament scripture. You have that, because I don't have that written down on my notes. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Hey, I want to encourage you, come to church. It'll change your life. Exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Ladies and gentlemen, the day is approaching. He is coming back. I said, Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back soon, and he's coming for a church that is looking for him. Finding a good New Testament church home is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make in your entire life. It's important. It can make all the difference, ladies and gentlemen. It can make all the difference in your life. It can make all the difference in your marriage. It can make all the difference in your finances. It can make all the difference in your family. It can make all the difference in your business. I'm telling you, a good New Testament church home can make a profound difference on every area of your life. Amen. Somebody ought to give God praise for that. Amen. It's an important decision. But the second thing I want to share with you is finding a good church home literally will change your life. Is that right, David? Yeah. Finding a good church home will change your life. Calvary has been such a blessing to Lori and me. God, through this church, changed my life. This is not just where I go to church, ladies and gentlemen. This is where I'm blessed. This is where I'm blessed. Look at this. David in Psalm 84, 1 through 4. Hallelujah. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah, think about it. Blessed are those that find a good New Testament church home, ladies and gentlemen. It'll change every area of your life. Every area of your life. Let me tell you what it did for me. Finding a good New Testament church home. When we came to Calvary, I had been to a church till I was 18 years old. And then from the time I was 18 till the time I was 32, I never went back to church. 14 years, I did nothing. Even when I was in church as a child, I didn't really hear a lot of word. I mean, we heard some word, but I mean, it wasn't like the word you hear here. And I mean, I knew nothing. When I came here in 1985, I knew absolutely nothing. I heard of Noah's Ark. And when I saw that it was in the Bible, I went, that's where that thing is. It's in the Bible. I knew nothing. This was 1985. Some people still say, well, never mind. But anyway, I knew absolutely nothing. And I remember I knew one person here at this church. I knew Rob Ross. I knew Rob's family. And Rob, of course, is a smart guy, and so he knew everything. Pastor would talk about, look in your concordance this, or this word is here, or that word. And I went, how do they know all these things? How do you know all this? And so Rob got this big old box, and he came over to our house, and he brought me all these books. He brought me Bible translations and concordances and lexicons and all this stuff. And he said, here, this. And I said, what do you do with this stuff? And he started showing me how to study the Bible. I'm telling you, you will start growing spiritually when you find a good New Testament church home. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. You'll start growing just by hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit. Brother Kevin, you want me to use this? I can use this. No problem. We okay? Hallelujah. But it'll help you grow spiritually. A good New Testament home will help you grow spiritually. Let me tell you what else it'll do. It'll help you prosper financially. A good New Testament church home will help you prosper financially. Listen, there was nobody any more broke than me when I came to this church. You couldn't be any more broke. No, really, Earl. I owed everybody. I owed anybody that would look at me, give me eye contact long enough. I was going to ask them for money, and I had. And I was broke. I didn't have a job. I didn't have a consistent job where I brought in a paycheck. I was broke. I had just gotten saved, and I owed my drug dealer money. I owed the rent. The rent wolf? Anybody had problems paying their rent? I have been there. I know what it's like to not answer the phone because you're afraid your landlord's going to kick you out. I've been there. I was broke. I had no money coming in. I owed everybody. And some of those that I owed are people that you had to pay, like the Internal Revenue Service. But when you find a good New Testament church home, your finances can turn around. I'll just say this, your finances, if you'll apply what you hear in a good New Testament church home, will turn around. I came to Calvary Cathedral International and I heard a man named Pastor Bob Nichols, and he said, you can start putting God first place in your life right now and God will prosper you. He said, you can start now. I said, man, I have been bad, bad. And he said, you can start right now. He said, if you'll put God first place, if you'll begin to tithe, he said, God will get involved in your finances and he'll turn your situation around. And I thought, there is no way. You know, being a businessman, I used to add up all my bills and decide how long it was going to take me to pay off all my bills, and it was going to be the rest of my life. I was 32 years old when I came to God, and I think I was going to be like 66 or 67 or 70 when I was going to finally get them all paid off if I paid like $600 or $700 a month all that time. And I thought, well, God, it's the rest of most of my life. Now that I'm almost there, I hope it's not the rest of most of my life. But and so you know what? We just proved God. We just put him to the test. We just started putting God first place in our finances. We started to tithe, first of all. I mean, I was giving because I wanted to give, because after God, what God did for me, I was, you know, just, you know, and not having to go to the drug dealer every night and liquor store every night and go to the cigarette machine every day. And it was just, praise God, I'm free, free, free. And I wanted to worship God with my, I knew. I hadn't heard it yet, but I knew if God did for me what he did by setting me free from drugs and alcohol and the change of sin and the shame and the guilt, I knew he could do something about my finances. And sure enough, he did. And he'll do it for you. He is no respecter of persons. So we just started putting God first place in our finances. And I'm telling you, it took a little bit. But I mean, you know, I dug a pretty deep hole. And then after about 2 years, it started turning. And two more years, and God totally paid off all of our debts. Thirty-five years of debt or something like that, Brother Mark. 2 years. And that included the drug dealer. That's right. You know what? Because if that drug dealer walks down this aisle saying, I'm on my last leg, I need help, he can point to this old boy and say, he didn't stiff me, he paid me. Amen. He paid me even when we were doing what we knew was wrong. And he can come, and I tell you what, I believe those guys are going to be saved. Matter of fact, we saw one of them at a funeral, and he was saved. He had gotten saved. Hallelujah. So, finding a good New Testament church home will change your finances. It'll help you prosper above your wildest dreams. God wants you to prosper more than you want to prosper. But he knows when he prospers you, he's prospering you for the right reasons, and he knows you're going to do what's right because you're going to put God first place. Finding a good New Testament church home will change your life, because if you need it, which all of us do, it will give you your mind back. It will give you your mind back. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God will give you your mind back. I don't care how far you think you've gone, how much you think you've fried your brain in sin and debauchery, God will give you your mind back. And it was because of the word that I heard in this house. It was because of the word of God that I heard in this house. I'm going to get into that in a minute, but it'll give you your mind back. The teaching in the Bible college, the line upon line, precept upon precept teaching in the Bible college, God will give you your mind back. You have not gone too far. Hallelujah. Finding a good New Testament church home will change your life, but because it will show you to have a strong, wonderful marriage. Amen. I'm talking about church. I'm talking about what church will do for you. I know a lot of you in here found your mate in this church. Yes. Do I have a witness? Yes, yes. But it will help you in your marriage. A good New Testament church home will help you in your marriage. You need that in your marriage. You need to know that your marriage is one of the greatest examples of grace that the world will ever see. Your marriage, our marriage, my marriage. I found out that I can't expect Lori to be only what Jesus can be to me. Found that out in this house. It changed our life. It changed our life. I found out that a strong marriage is not just built on a strong wedding ceremony, but it's built brick by brick, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, founded on the solid rock of the Word of God. God will give you a good marriage, and God will give you a strong marriage if you'll apply yourself. I found that out because I had a good New Testament church home. It gave us a strong marriage. I can't imagine if it gave us a strong marriage. Finding a good New Testament church home will change your life because it's where you can receive and where you will receive, if you'll receive it, godly counsel. Psalm 73:17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. There is understanding in the house of God. There is understanding in the sanctuary of God. How many in here have actually ever come into the house of God needing answers? And while you're sitting there under the anointing of God, God gives you the answer that you need. Just lift your hand and wave, amen. There's understanding in the house of God. Hallelujah. I remember Pastor said to Lori and me, he said this. Here's some understanding. He said, Charlie, stay out of everybody's cat fights. Man, that's held me good for 27 years. As funny as it sounds. Stay out of everybody's catfights. Put God first place in your life. Get as close to the front row as you can and watch what God will do in your life. Amen. Pretty simple. Pretty simple. Well, let me just boast in the Lord, not in me. Here's an old boy that didn't know where Noah's Ark was found 27 years ago, okay? I've had the privilege of traveling with our pastor all over this world. I've given halter calls in the heart of Africa. God's used me to teach at Andrew Womack Ministries Bible College. God's put me on Trinity Broadcasting Network, and Daystar Television Network, sharing my testimony. He will use you. He will give you godly counsel. He will take you where you never dreamed that you would go. He will do for you what you never dreamed you would do. God is no respecter of persons. He'll give you godly counsel. He'll use you all over the world. He'll use you right here in Fort Worth, Texas. You heard it this morning. You can get involved right here. You can be praying in that power tower. You can be going out with Operation Stitches. You can be involved in that outreach, making an eternal difference. We don't know the lives that we touch. We don't know the lives. Just one person. Think of a guy that led Billy Graham or whomever to the Lord. Hallelujah. God will use us. I love what Pastor used to say. He'll use fat people. Faithful, available, and teachable. That's who God uses. Come on, give God praise. The reason it just got to me there, I was a God hater, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't know anybody that knew God. I didn't know anybody that talked about God. Nothing. And he took my life. I used to curse his name. I did things that I'm ashamed of now, but he took the shame away. Because the guy that did those things is dead. That guy's dead. And it doesn't matter where you're from, what you've done, God will use you. But I'm telling you, it's because of a good New Testament church home. Number three, Calvary Cathedral International is good soil. I was asking God right after I got saved. And I was just, man, I was just, you know, I didn't have money, but I could get a hold of money, but it wasn't my money. And before, I was spending it on drugs and alcohol. Then, the day I got saved, man, I just started giving it to ministries that I'd see on TV. I was just giving it. I was just thankful. I was just, God, thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus. And I was asking God about that one day, and God, it just as clear as a bell, God said, Calvary Cathedral International is good soil. That's what he said to me. And I said, why, God? And he gave me about four reasons. One, he said, souls. He said, you have a pastor at that church that has a heart for souls. He said, souls. There's an emphasis on souls. There's an emphasis on outreach at Calvary Cathedral International. There's a sign on the pulpit that says, please remember to give a clear-cut salvation altar call in every service. Souls. There's a whole department, Operation Stitches, that is full-time ministry that goes out to win souls. You know, there's an outreach called Lighthouse Television that we have gone to the middle of Africa. I mean, who'd have thought it? A local church in Fort Worth, Texas, and we have a television station in the heart of Africa, and we have never taken one thing out of that nation. We have gone over there, and we have sown, and we have sown, and we have sown souls. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus talked about the Great Supper, where many were bidden. And he said, come, for all things are now ready. Then they all with one consent made excuse. Isn't that something? See, they didn't know the value. They started making excuse. One guy said, well, I bought some land. I got to go check it out. You found anybody that buys land without looking at it first? I can't come to church. I bought some land I hadn't even seen yet. I would have loved to have found those guys when I was in the real estate business before I got saved. One guy said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I got to go prove them. Can you imagine buying cattle without looking at them first? One guy said, well, I married a wife. But the master said, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant came back and said, I've done all that. We've done all that, and there's still room. And then the Lord said unto that servant, then go out into the highways and hedges and compel them. I believe it's Brother Mark that taught us. Compel means go out and don't come back without bringing them in. Compel them to come in that my house may be filled. And I just want to speak to everyone that's here that is our guest today and that has been our guest that may be watching by telecast. And I want to say this, no matter where you are from, no matter what you have done or what you haven't done, no matter where you live and no matter how much money you have or how much money you don't have, this body of believers, this staff, this pastor, Pastor Bob Nichols and his wife Joy, this body of believers loves you, appreciates you, and welcomes you here in this church at Calvary Cathedral International. Amen. Hallelujah. We have a pastor that keeps the main thing, souls. Then God said, you know why it's good soil? Because of prayer. Yeah. Isaiah said it. Jesus reiterated it. My house will be called a house of prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people. God didn't say if the world. God didn't say if other people. He said, if my people. That's us, ladies and gentlemen. We're God's people. If my people will humble themselves and pray. See, there's a stumbling block right there. There's where some people get hung up. Because it's humbling. Because they think, well, man, I can do this by myself. I can do it by myself. They don't want to put their dependence or their reliance on God. Listen, God said, if you'll humble yourself and pray and seek His face and turn from your wicked ways, then He would hear from heaven. He would forgive our sins and He would heal our land. Prayer. He said, this church has an emphasis on prayer. We have full-time staff just to lead prayer. Just to lead prayer. We've had Dale Gentry in four times on nights that weren't service nights, as well as service nights for a month or two, praying for our nation and praying for these elections and praying for another spiritual awakening in our land. Ladies and gentlemen, we must have revival in America. We must have revival in America. James says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. We make a difference when we pray. Don't always know how. Don't always know how. But there's a difference made when we pray. There's a difference. It makes a difference. God hears and answers prayer. It's something the mind can't figure out. But we're not people of the mind. We're people of the Spirit. God hears and answers prayer. I like what Pastor Bob Nichols said. Some people say, well, do it this way or do it that way or don't do it this way or don't do it that. Pastor, just do it. Just pray. Just call out to God. Another reason that Calvary's good soil is because we make disciples and we preach the gospel. Jesus was both a teacher and a preacher. There's a time to teach and there's a time to preach. Teaching people the ways of the Lord. Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. How about Calvary Christian Academy? 34 years of teaching young people about Jesus. How about Calvary Cathedral International Bible College? 32 years of training people for the end time harvest. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got fruit and seed all over the world through those from the academy and from the Bible College. Some of them are just being a better businessman because they went to Calvary Academy or the Bible College. Some of them are in full-time ministry. Some of them are pastors, some evangelists, some teachers. But the point is, they're doing it with a biblical foundation. Okay. One reason Calvary's good soil is because of the spirit of revival. We have a pastor who loves both the Word and the Spirit. The letter, ladies and gentlemen, kills, but the Spirit gives life. Leviticus 6:13 says, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. You know why there's a fire burning in this house? Because we have a leader, we have a pastor that is constantly crying out and calling out for revival, for an awakening, for people to come back to God, to return to the Lord. When revival and prayer have not been cool, our pastor has stood up in the pulpit and cried out to God for revival and prayer. And we're going to see it. I meant to touch base with you, Brother Mark Calvary, and I forgot, and you don't have to do it now, but you remember the video that Brother Mark Carrillo's been playing that we do from time to time when Pastor walked out in Brother Copeland's meeting a couple of years ago. And Brother, I was with them, and let me tell you, they had not talked. I mean, Brother Copeland walks out into a minister's meeting of, I guess 500, 600, or I don't know how many people were there. And he walked out, and before he said, hello, how's your mama, anything. He looked right to our pastor and he said, Pastor Bob Nichols, the Lord said, yeah, you were there. And the night, that was on a Thursday night, and the night before, Lori and I were standing right here, and Pastor was standing right there crying out for revival. He was just standing there, and he was just right here. I can see it just like, and just crying out. We were all up at the front, and he was crying out for revival. And Lori and I were standing right there, and I said, do you hear that cry in his heart? Do you hear that cry in his heart? And Brother Copeland said, he came out, and before he said anything, he said, God has heard your cry. And you know what? Carlos, Susan, and all you that attend our Bible college, and you that have been in the church, you have seen, you have heard Pastor crying out for revival since as long as I've been here. When it didn't seem like there was much happening, and when there was, I'm telling you, God honors that cry. God honors that cry. There's a spirit of revival in this house. And that's one reason God, this is good soil. Shokarabasa karabaso. Hibarabaso korabasa. You know that revival we had in 93? You know, I wasn't here for the hippie revival in the 70s, but I was here for the revival in 93. And it was not a move of man. There wasn't anything that we did. It wasn't anything we did. We didn't cause it. We didn't. The Holy Ghost came. The Holy Ghost came to this church, to this house of believers. I mean, those that were there have seen it and know what God can do. He can do what no other power can do. And I'm telling you, God is not finished with Calvary Cathedral International. There's a revival. Listen, the glory of this latter house is going to be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this house he will give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. God is not finished with this house. Revival, Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled revival, where you were changed when you walk in the very atmosphere, in the very presence of God, and you are changed by the power of Almighty God. I'm telling you what, it's an awesome thing to be a part of a move of God like that. But we saw our pastor before that crying, and our staff too, but I mean our church. I mean our church was praying. 5 o'clock in the morning. Come when you can, leave when you must. Can't come five, come four. Can't come four, come three. Can't come three, come two. Can't come two, come one. Can't come one, shame on you. I've got so much here. Last but not least. Listen, what our pastor says is true. We're only one generation from seeing the light of revival, the fires of revival going out. And we're not going to see it. We're not going to see that on Pastor Bob Nichols' watch and anybody else who's watching this house. We will see Holy Ghost revival. We will see our sons and our daughters and our aunts and our uncles and our parents and our grandparents changed by the power of God. Number four, I'm going to give you the heading and then I'm going to wrap it up. Number four, you can be blessed the most by your church home. You can be blessed the most by getting planted and staying planted. Psalm 92:13, those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. Planted. Drive a stake. Come what, not come what, you are not going to be moved. You will flourish if you do that. You will flourish. You will flourish. Your family will flourish. Your children will flourish. Your business will flourish. Everything that you touch will flourish if you will drive a stake. Man, since I have been on staff since 93, and I have seen, I can tell you when somebody's leaving this church. I can tell the signs. Oh, I can tell. I mean, I don't look at people's giving record, but I have access to it, and I can tell by their giving. I can tell by where they sit, a little farther back. I can tell how much they pray, especially when we had morning prayer meetings. I mean, you can just go down the signposts. It's called hard-heartedness. Get planted. Sometimes it's important to realize that it's not the church that needs to be changed, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of change. The Bible says a faithful person will abound with blessings. David was committed to the house of the Lord. Listen to this. Listen to David. One thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing. You think David could have asked for a few things? One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. He was a man after God's own heart. He could have asked anything from God, and I believe God would have given it to him. He could have asked for riches, for honor, for victory over his enemies, all that. But one thing he desired of the Lord, and that was that he could be in the house of God. And guess what? Just like with Solomon, his son, it was bonus day. Because he asked for that, God gave him everything else. Riches, victory. Amen. I want to tell you how to stay in church, and I'll put the meat on it at another time. But listen, when you make a stand to stay in the house of God, when you say, I'm going to get planted and I'm going to stay planted, listen to me. The first thing that's going to happen to you is you are going to be offended, and you're going to have to overcome that offense. You will be offended. I can guarantee it. Just like, and Dr. Stumbo taught me this. Jesus said it's impossible that offenses won't come, but that offenses will come. Jesus prophesied it, and the devil will make sure it happens, that once you drive that stake, offense will come. But you can overcome that offense. I have good news. I said, I have good news. You can overcome that offense. For great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing by any means shall offend them. I'm telling you, by the word of God, you can overcome offense today. You don't have to be offended. You can overcome offense by the word of God. Offense is a blessing blocker, ladies and gentlemen. You do it, you know, we do it to ourselves, but you can overcome. Refuse a critical spirit. Avoid strife at all costs. Walk in love and mercy. Give of yourself and be in unity with your pastor, and you will be blessed because of the house of God. Let's all stand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you today. Father, we just seal the word of God that's been ministered, Father, into our hearts. We thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy that follow us all the days of our life. Amen and amen.